My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast. Hello, welcome everyone to the EDP F1 podcast. Post-Germany, we have the Nürburgring to digest. I have a bumper panel today, which is very exciting. So, hello everyone.
Hello.
Yeah, and you should be able to pick out of that lot Perry Hamilton, DT, Carl Cumbers and John Luton. Hello.
Hello again.
Hello.
Brilliant. We're all here. How are we all? I need to address some of these questions to people. Perry.
I've been told since the last one, that the last review that we did, that I needed to wash my mouth out. So I will be completely clean-mouthed and very complimentary all session.
I love it. It can't be too...
I might come up with some elaborate words a la Chris Cluey, if any of you know who he is. Congratulations.
It's a lot of shaking of heads.
No.
It's all right, we know the beat machine works now, anyway.
So we do, yes.
That's pretty handy. Did we enjoy the German Grand Prix, DT? I did.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. Yeah, I enjoyed it in two pieces as well, because I was watching it on my iPad. It can be watched on other brands of tablet. via Sky Go, and I was watching it up until about lap 37, and my battery died.
Oh dear.
I was being paid at the time, so it wasn't too bad.
I love it. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was interesting in a way. We've had a lot of tyre issues, obviously, over the recent weeks. In a way, the fact that they brought back sort of this sort of 2012 construction, but slightly different, it seemed to mean that the teams could almost push it and go for a strategy, knowing a bit better what the tyres would do.
I feel it's the sort of perfect Pirelli race, in the race they'd sort of want between two and three stops, and you had a choice which way you pushed, and we didn't have too much complaining on the radio tyres apart from Mercedes team members. But I think the rest, you got no impression of people just driving around looking after tyres, they were pushing, but good strategy race.
It came out from the start almost. I think Gary Anderson said on the BBC that the drivers can actually go out and let the cars go and not be afraid of coming in for another stop if they needed to, which is lovely, rather than sitting there going, "I've got to only make two stops, I only make two."
I think it was good that they could push it, and as well, you saw the different strategies evolve as well. Obviously, Ferrari's strategy of let's go on the medium tyre at the start didn't really pay off, and you had, it was interesting where it wasn't just about we need to be on this tyre for 90% of the race, and in the end, more of them were shoving on the mediums and doing two stints with them rather than the faster tyre.
No, exactly. Safety cars helped.
Yeah, safety cars always help. I mean, I can only imagine that people in the pits just lose their mind as soon as safety car comes out. Like, half of them probably run out and grab tyres even if they don't need to. I think it's just so drilled into them. But I think what caused the safety cars was more interesting.
So fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
There's been some brilliant memes made of that, sort of showing the motor car sort of going through the Yorkshire Dales with sheep on its little journey.
To be fair, that's the fastest I've seen one of them cars go.
Hey, they're still going to score points before Williams.
It was a bit like Ricky Booby winning in reverse in Talladega Nights, I suppose. Sebastian Vettel won his home race. It's the first time he's done that. I'm sure the love in Germany will follow.
It's his first win in July as well, wasn't it?
Lucky boy. What a month for him. And probably, sadly, reiterating where he is in the championship standings.
Unfortunately, yeah. It wasn't a bad race of the championship, because at least Raikkonen and Alonso kept close to him. But just looking back, he's so pleased he failed in Silverstone, because the worry was it would be over by now. But, there's still hope, but it does look like a fourth championship for him.
It's just a ridiculous number, four, isn't it?
I mean, I've made no bones in the past about how little I like Vettel these days.
It's quite a few you don't like now, DT, to be honest.
Yeah.
If you need to hear how much I dislike Vettel, re-listen to the introduction to the Silverstone review.
Exactly. Penn and I are pretty unanimous on that front. But I have to say, he deserved that victory. There's occasions where I've seen him win, and he wins largely because of the team and the car and the strategy and stuff, and he just holds it together. Whereas this time, I think he actually held it together more so because of his talent.
There are races where we sit there and go, "Oh,
so that's what Seb the racing driver looks like. Now I can see it, but they're all too few and far between for me.
Yeah.
Well, it was a weird one because in, you know, maybe the last few weeks he's been told to cool it, stop pushing, stop, you don't need to do all this, Seb, control your tyre. This week you had Rocky going on the radio going, come on, sort of, come on, Seb, G'ing him up almost.
Mm. I think it's like that there was a slight worry at time that he might lose it, and I think that was, I think a lot of the other races that he's won, it's been, he's been out there fairly early and it didn't look like there wasn't really any competition, whilst this one all the cars behind him were speeding up and getting quicker, and if it had been another 2-3 laps on, then he could have lost it.
Is there any way Raikkonen could have won that race? Obviously there was the issue as to whether they should have changed tyres at the end, and he had radio issues, and that obviously didn't make things easier.
You could say that maybe Grosjean could have just, you know, parted like the Red Sea as soon as,
yeah,
but I don't know whether or not that would have made it the difference.
Yeah. I think to me it always seemed that Seb had it in hand. I mean, yeah, as soon as the gap got down to under a second with Raikkonen behind him, Seb put his foot down and he got the gap up to just over a second. And I think that, again, I'll echo the sentiments that DT made when we were talking about Silverstone. You know, 3-4 more laps, who knows, maybe. But we didn't have 3 or 4 more laps. You drove the race that was in front of you, and Sebastian did a great job of doing everything he needed to do to keep Kimi behind. And I don't, the thing that makes it sort of acceptable to me is that I don't think Kimi could have done more. I mean, Kimi did everything he could do. I think both teams, to an extent, did everything they could do. I mean, I know there's questions over Lotus, but I think Lotus had a great race. I think Lotus did everything they needed to do in that race. And yeah, I mean, it was just good racing from both of them in the end, and I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, great double podium. Roman drove a very good race actually as well, and kept out of trouble whilst pushing it on the first lap, which was good to see. I mean, it's obviously been, what, 7-10 days since we last talked about this and everything happened, so we might as well address it again. Kimi just behind Seb, are they likely to be Red Bull drivers, both of them, next year? Obviously Seb will be.
I'm going to say no. I think Ricciardo is going to be there.
Got the Oracle on my side again.
Love it.
That's my prediction for the second seat, really.
Okay.
That's what I said. What I said last time when we talked about it. I said I think it'd be Ricciardo.
There was a report the other day that said that Kimi is pretty much on the knife edge of signing a contract that's in front of him
at
Red Bull. So I don't know how much truth there is in that.
Well, they might have another deal put in front of him from Lotus maybe soon. Is the other suggestion.
Well, they seem quite confident they can keep him.
Yeah.
I think if it was another year on, then it would be sure thing for Ricciardo, but I think Kimi is pretty much, the deal's done.
Gotta be exciting if that happens.
They want him. They definitely want him. It's just whether or not they can get him.
Well, who wouldn't want him? I mean, apart from, you know, McLaren. but, you know, who wouldn't want him?
I mean, with Perez the way he is these days, I think they'd probably take him back.
World Championship winning driver. What team wouldn't want to at least take a chance on that experiment?
Is this a one-off race? I mean, the tyres were sort of a hodgepodge of past ones for this one. They're going to change again for Hungary in a few weeks' time. Is this?
Ask me that after Hungary.
Fantastic. We will do. Okay, you know what time it is. It's time for DT's impression of a pit stop. And there it is. It's the EDP F1 pit stop time. You've got other really good impressions, I hear, DT. One from a friend.
Yeah, my flatmate does an uncanny impression of a V8 Formula 1 car.
Very specific.
He used to do an uncanny impression of the V10 Formula 1 car, and then they got rid of that, so he had to you know, relearn his impression.
Okay, shall we hear that now? Let's hear that now.
That's pretty good.
Oh my god! Well, that's mighty fine. I think we all agree.
I think the window's rattled. That's what happened. I mean, if I'd have known, I'd have brought ear defenders. That's outstanding.
How you can do that?
I've got some Force India ear defenders at the moment if you want.
He's always name dropping, isn't he? Always name dropping.
Any opportunity.
That must be a full bedroom you have. McLaren, signs of life.
Yeah,
good. Just when they stop trying.
Yeah, encouraging. Just when we'd written them off, I think it's the EDP F1 kiss of death.
Kyle, what's been going on at McLaren? Have they really given up? Is it all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got no idea.
Are they doomed until 2015?
Possibly 16.
16.
Yeah, they just got. I got no idea what's wrong with the car. And
they should do a Pirelli and go back to last year's car.
Mm. Possibly, yeah.
If they're giving up on this year's car, then it can't hurt to go back to last year's car.
Exactly.
Can they do that? I mean, I'm expressing ignorance of the rules here, but can they just? Are there not smaller regulation changes that have happened from last year to this year? Everything's fine. They could literally just trot out last year's car,
bolt some new bits onto last year's car. And,
yeah. Well, I know that they tried. Well, I copied the Mercedes front wing. They couldn't understand how it works. It was slower than one they got at the moment.
German engineering.
They got no idea.
As I say, it's all about how the whole thing works with the entire car, isn't it? The rear of the car is affected most by the front wing, or is it that the front wing is affected most by the rear of the car? Something really backwards.
Yes, because the air goes backwards, it starts at the front, and that's the most important bit. The front wing dictates where the air flows and all that jazz.
Craziness. Still, a good overtaking move from Perez at one point.
I can't remember what it was, isn't there one good move, I'm sure he pulled off one really good move.
We can edit this if it didn't actually happen.
He hates him, it was a button, didn't he, early on, but Button gave way.
It wasn't really
much. Do you not kind of just look at this season as like scrapping children? You're kind of like sort of like, I don't know, like competitive cousins. They're just always trying to get one up on each other while the rest of the adults kind of just play at the front.
This is one of those childish scraps in sport where I actually want one of the guys to get up and punch the other one.
Well, we don't ever condone violence as an answer to sporting rivalries, but yeah, I'm with you on that.
Kimi was tempted, so there might be a cue to him. I mean, we've mentioned Daniel Ricciardo. He's driving very well with Toro Rosso at the moment, isn't he?
He's outperforming Verne at the moment.
He can't buy a finish, can he, at the moment?
He's better lucky. But yeah, his qualifying's good. Unfortunately, he went back to 12th on Sunday, but yeah, his qualifying is good, and yeah, it keeps going. It's the right time to be in form at the moment. So.
It's a difficult one, I suppose. It'll be his second season at Toro Rosso after this year, and they might just dump him. That's what they tended to do in the past.
It depends on whether or not Red Bull see him as an option for the future. If Red Bull, then it might. You don't know how long, if they do get Kimi, how long Kimi will actually stay at Red Bull, whether he'll be a year or 2 years, so there's always going to be that chance for him to move on up to Red Bull, perhaps when he's a bit more ready for it.
But then you look at the ascension of someone like Perez to a top tier team at the time, as they were, like McLaren, and if you say to Daniel Ricciardo, well, actually, you know what, you're in the feeder system, you've come up through the right channels, there's a seat available at Red Bull, but we're going to give it to this chap from Lotus. If I'm Ricciardo, I'm putting my foot to the floor, I'm finishing as high as I can, and then I'm looking to other teams. I'm looking to teams, and not necessarily Mercedes, because they seem quite set, but I'm looking at the McLarens. Are they regretting their Sergio decision? You know, if Kimi does go, I'm looking at Lotus. You know, that's an empty seat that's going to need a solid driver. Possibly, Daniel could be that guy. You know, Force India are coming along very strong this year. If I was Ricciardo and I was looked over for this position, I would be looking to go elsewhere, because it shows that the system doesn't work.
Paul Di Resta to Lotus is a suggestion, should Kimi go.
That would be a great suggestion.
Yeah.
Mercedes went a bit horribly wrong, however good their front wing is. Rosberg, they completely ballsed up qualifying for Rosberg, and Prod Lewis was having pre-season deja vu, I think.
It's just I think they've improved a little bit. I mean, was it Spain? Like, Rosberg went from first to ninth and Hamilton was outside the points. I think they've improved, but yeah, it must have been a dejected garage, because especially after Silverstone they look so strong, and Canada reasonably strong, and yeah, I think they're expecting better, and especially so far back as well from the leaders.
That's it. What's the difference between Silverstone and Nürburgring? Because I know they had a bit of luck ahead of them, I suppose. A
couple of thousand miles, maybe.
yes.
It's a very different circuit. Silverstone's got lots of high speed corners. The track suited the way that they use the tyres. Obviously they were different tyres, so that's made a hell of a difference. The Nürburgring's got some very, very tight hairpins. It's got some interesting corners from a camber perspective, so it's got some undulation, it's got some hills, you know, all that sort of stuff, stuff that Silverstone just doesn't have. So it is a completely different kettle of fish, even though from the outside, to, you know, the untrained eye, it still looks like a similar kind of racetrack.
So would we say, would we then, I mean, I know obviously Hungary is next, but would we be expecting Mercedes to struggle at Spa? Similar kind of track in that way. You've got your undulations, you've got your change of, you've got your heights, you've got your climbs, you've got your off cambers, you've got your slow corners.
Yeah, I can't see them being hot at Spa. Hungary would be interesting.
Because
that's a bit of a mixture, isn't it?
Might depend on the tyre compounds, because it's medium soft this weekend, wasn't it? And it was medium hard.
Fancy those hard tyres.
Maybe,
We should spare a thought for cameraman Paul Allen, who got hit by Mark Webber's flying rear. I mean, that was a pretty horrific.
Massive. Yeah. I just went, oh, good lord. It was proper, like, heart in mouth moment.
Rare for Red Bull to make a mistake in the pits as well. I don't think there'll be any cameramen wandering the pit lane in the future now. I think they're going to have gantry.
I think Bernie's already said they're well out of the way. To be fair, though, it's probably been a while considering everybody else in the pit lane when the pit stops has to have the full kind of like suit and helmet on. And then when you actually think back at it, all the cameramen are just as close as some of those people, and they're there shorts, t-shirt,
and almost certainly looking somewhere else.
Looking somewhere else. It's only a matter of time before either they're going to be moved completely off, which I think what they said now, or at some point if they are back in, they'll be wearing the suits and the helmets or something, some kind of protection. Although, to be honest with you, apart from the helmet, not much is going to protect you if a wheel comes and hits you straight in the chest.
They need like a Formula One guide dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't really know how that would work.
DT's obviously spent a lot of time thinking about this.
It just came to me.
For those of you,
I was going to suggest.
He says it just came to him. For those of you, obviously, you know, it's an audio podcast. He has brought a whiteboard and he is displaying to us the best thing that could be with a Formula One guide dog.
We'll have to put the diagrams up on the website.
No, I'm just thinking, like, you know, that something happens, the dog's trained to know about problems within Formula One, and you know, he tells his master to run or move or whatever.
This is amazing.
Yeah. Why don't you have a big klaxon dog? If something screws up in the pit lane, someone whacks a big red button and
everyone hits the deck. Yeah.
Duck and cover technique.
It's like
part of the show.
Have you ever played that drinking game called Grenade?
I think we're getting off topic, DT.
So if you're in a bar and you're just like, you know, and your son shouts Grenade, everyone has to hit the floor, and the last person to hit the floor has to drink something or do something silly.
Like dead ants.
But where does the guide dog come into it? Anyway, quickly, moving on. Sauber, I wanted to mention, they haven't paid Nico Hülkenberg what he's due for a while. Money seems a bit beyond tight, really. Oh, we all assume, and it was Williams' 600th race this weekend, and they've had their money issues as well. Formula 1 in a slightly... We'll just, you know, cover this in about 60 seconds. Formula 1 in a slightly more perilous position than we assume?
No.
There you go.
I think for the smaller teams, I think the top end are always going to be fine. The smaller teams are really, really struggling to get the sponsorship or to get enough sponsorship to cover their costs. And I think that's the thing. But Formula 1 isn't in trouble. It's just... a few of them teams are either going to not be able to compete because they don't have the budget to put the money in, or a few teams are just going to end up going bust and they'll be replaced by other people who want to come into the sport.
This is how I was going to say, you know, if you know, Sauber would disappear, there'd always be someone else willing to take their slot, you know.
Well, Bernie's quite open to the fact that he'd rather only have 10 teams.
Yeah.
So
despite the push a few years ago too.
Yeah, I wouldn't as a viewer and a fan. I'd like to see not as many. I mean, now the number that we have is a very good number, and I'd like to sort of see it keep around that level, you know.
All right then, let's have the open discussions of the week end. I always forget end weekend. Drive of the weekend, gents. Who's your vote?
Oh, Kimi, for me. Got to be Kimi Räikkönen. Drove a cracking race, really good push, really good pressure, really good overtakes as well, really cracking overtakes. So for me, give it to the Iceman.
Arguments?
I would give it to Grosjean.
That seems like an argument.
Seems like a shock from me.
So guess who me and DT are going to give the team of the week?
We'll come to that.
I was going to agree with Grosjean. Yeah.
Grosjean?
Hope you can carry this one.
Oh, that'd be good. I still think he's a
I'm with Ped and Kimi.
Really? See, I've got Webber because he was, after 10 laps, I think, he was back 21st and about a minute off the rest. Now, clearly, a couple of safety cars brought him a lot closer, but it wasn't even his fault. He was at the back of the grid because it was his lost wheel, and he still recovered to seventh, which I think is pretty good effort.
Yeah, cracking race.
I thought it was a big shame the whole race. I think it had been a great battle between him and Seb.
Yeah. We all want to see
Now he doesn't give a monkey's what happens from here on in. That's going to be one to watch.
Yeah. I just want to say about Grosjean, the reason that he got mine over Kimi is not just for his racing, it's also how he handled his interview on the podium and then his interview after the race. Very happy, very, it genuinely sounded like he thought it was the right decision rather than it was the right decision because the team told me it was the right decision kind of thing. I'll have to take my hat off to him.
Between him and Kimi then?
I think he was a very good, it did a lot for his stock, I think.
I think no matter what the team told him, as long as he was on the podium, I think he's going to be absolutely overcome with joy. I mean, for him, that's a huge achievement. Mm. And we always say, you know, when Grosjean has a good result, oh, it's the upward trend.
Yeah,
I'm going to hold my judgment on that for a moment.
Did anyone else notice the big innuendo on the podium?
I didn't watch the podium, sorry.
Ah, right. They had the German interview. I don't know his name, but he interviewed Seb, and he said something about, could you feel Kimi's breath on the back of your neck? And then Seb turned around and said, yes, I could feel him coming, at which point I nearly spat my tear out.
Good Lord. Every week, DT, every week. Goat of the week. I'll start it off with Massa, because I think we're seeing a bit more of the old Massa.
Yeah, I think he's the only one thing from the Grand Prix.
Having his wobbles.
Reminded me why he crashed, I can't remember now.
It was Driver Error.
It was Driver Error, was it?
Yeah, well,
and then he just, his gearbox messed up from there.
Yeah.
The gunman on the right rear tyre of Mark Webber's Red Bull.
Yeah,
or the guy who let Webber go when the wheel wasn't attached properly.
But to be fair, if Mark Webber thinks, do you know what, I've been here long enough, I'm sure everything's fine, I'm putting my foot down, I'm not going to get in the way of that car. I'll be like, off you go, and then I'll be waving and going, no, you know, panicking. But yeah, the guy who just, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I'll second that.
John?
Yeah, I'll go for the Massa. Just, not with it.
Love it. Team Lotus, anyone going to disagree with that?
Solid drive from them. Fantastic. Double podium, well done.
From the Hethel-backed and Stone outfit.
We love it.
Highlight?
Kimi's overtakes and Kimi's charge for me.
Alonso versus Hamilton.
Yes.
Early on the race for me.
Lovely.
Also the backwards Marussia.
Well, I was going to say.
Sorry, that was mine.
Backwards Marussia gets it. Nothing like a car rolling down a hill to win. Awesome work, gents. So I think we've wrapped that up pretty nicely. Good stuff. That was Germany. Next up, Hungary in a few weeks. We'll be back with a preview for that. Twitter roundup, you can get us all there at Michael J. Bailey or at EDPF1. We've got a few followers overseas, which is always good. So hello to you guys, get in touch. You can get these guys on Twitter as well. Let's start from Ryan. John.
At John Luton.
At K Cumbers.
At PedHD56.
At Dave Tillion.
There we go. Nicely done, gents. Right, we'll be back for Hungary. Until then, goodbye.